Today we think about what it looks like to have a true partnership and how that partnership, that support, can get disrupted. So in our first reading today, we hear about Adam needing partners, needing some helpers to do the work that God had asked him to do. And for this purpose, God says, you know, it's not good for Adam to be alone. He can't do this tilling and keeping of the earth thing all by himself. And so I will create some animals. I create these birds and the animals from the dust. In our Genesis 2 story, Adam comes and sees them all, names them, but not a sufficient helper is found. So God says, all right, we got to do something different. Instead of making animals out of the dust, I'm going to use Adam's own parts to create something, someone to be his helper, his partner. And so Adam takes the rib, a familiar story. We have woman. Now there is a sufficient partner here to do the work alongside each other that God has asked to be done. And Adam says, yes, this at last is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Here I recognize someone with whom I can partner. And so we hear that this partnership is to be one of a true unit. And so this is the reason why a son will leave his father and his mother and go to be with his wife, and they will become one flesh, one solid unit, joined together. Partners. And unfortunately, this partnership can get disrupted. There's this whole problem of sin, of hard-heartedness. Things can happen that lead to this union being dissolved, that lead to the help and partnering that should have been going on becoming disrupted in such a way that there is no more ability to be together and to work together for what God has asked you to do. And this is highlighted by the question that the Pharisees bring to Jesus. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Now, of course, pretty clear that they only mean that a man divorces his wife, that this is something only a man can do. And theoretically, a woman should be able to as well, and that's also in the law, and Jesus says that. But they are not concerned about this. It's really, can a guy get rid of his wife if he wants to? Is that lawful? And we hear that they're trying to trap Jesus. And this question, to be clear, is not a trap. Everyone knows it is lawful to divorce your wife. Everyone knows, they can read the law that Moses recorded, that it is possible for divorce to occur. So Jesus, I think, is well aware that this isn't the heart of the issue. The heart of the issue for them is under what circumstances? What makes it legally sufficient? What grounds make it legally sufficient to divorce one's wife? And how do I use that law to my advantage? This is the real question, and this is where they're going to try to trap Jesus, because that's where the scuttlebutt was of the day about how to interpret that law. But Jesus doesn't play their game, and he doesn't take their bait. Instead, he decides to focus on marriage. I don't want to talk to you about divorce and the legal proceedings of it. I want to talk to you about how we should be thinking about marriage, which is the thing divorce is trying to disrupt. What was the goal of marriage? It was to be united before God, for the sake of partnership. And the people, of course, would say, but we have a law, and it allows divorce. And if it's in the law, then it must be good. It must be fine. God should be totally okay with divorce because it's permissible according to the law. And we can almost hear St. Paul also chiming in and saying, just because all things are lawful for me does not mean they are all beneficial for me. That just because we can do something doesn't mean it is good. But of course, this is the understanding of the law. That whatever was in the law was divinely ordained and something God would be 100% okay with. This is our understanding. And now Jesus is throwing a significant wrench into that understanding and says, God at times allows for things that God is not pleased with, but understands that humans are flawed creatures who will need some ways out when things go awry. And so this rule about divorce is a concession to humanity. It's not something God wants. That isn't here to try to get people to split up and not be in partnership as they should be. But because God is well aware of humanity's hardness of heart, God knows divorce is something that should be on the table, that there are unions that are made that are going to need to be dissolved because of the way in which people are relating with each other, because of what people are doing with one another. But at the end of the day, the reason for this is hardness of heart. It's the fact that we are not caring for one another, not living in right relationship as we should. And that's the issue. We are not partnering together, whether we're thinking about marriage or any other aspect, in the way that we should. And so there are laws to try to deal with this hard-heartedness of humanity. This, of course, is a surprising thing for Jesus to say. And the disciples point this out because they bring it up again. They say, Jesus, could you really have meant this? This makes this whole divorce thing a lot more complicated. We actually have to like think about it. And if this relationship on its own merits divorce, or if we should try to, you know, break asunder that which God has joined together, that sounds pretty significant. You must have meant something different, right? Because this is difficult to focus 100% on trying first and foremost to be in right relationship with one another, of being good partners with each other. And of course, Jesus tells them, no, I meant what I said. And in fact, I'll go one step further. You're violating the law if you do this. And Jesus, of course, gives the possibility that you can't get around this with some loophole. Well, I mean, a man can't divorce a woman, but a woman could divorce a man. Am I right? And Jesus says, no. Because the issue I'm going to focus on still is hardness of heart. And lo and behold, men and women are both capable of having hard hearts. And then, of course, we see further in this reading that the disciples are indicating this sort of disruption of not understanding how to relate as Jesus would have them relate to others, as they try to discourage these children from coming to see Jesus. If they are doing a very logical thing here, especially for the day, the children were not sort of non-entities, not viewed at the same level as adults, and it would have been very clear that this would have been disruptive to the teaching that Jesus was doing, to his ministry. And so they're doing the rational thing of minimizing this distraction, of sending people away so that Jesus can focus on his mission and ministry. Only to have Jesus say to them, actually, this is my mission and ministry. I have come for these children. In fact, I have come for all the children of God who need me to take them in my arms and to bless them. And that is what I will do. And we have to recognize then that the way we think to relate to others does not often match God's thought process. That we will live in disrupted relationship with each other. And that at the end of the day, we are not good partners to God. We are not doing what God would ask of us 100% of the time. We're not always fulfilling God's will or obedient to it. And God knows this. Indeed, across all this time, God knows that there has not been a suitable partner in all of humanity to be found for God. So, just like back with Adam, God figures out a way to do something a little different. God decides to join God's self to humanity. This is what happens in Christ. This is what our reading from Hebrews is talking about today. Before, God spoke to us through prophets, through those who had visions and dreams and who heard God's voice. But now God is speaking to us directly. God has entered into this world in the flesh through the same word that spoke and brought about all things into existence. And this one who entered into the flesh is the exact imprint of God, is truly God. As we would say in the Nicene Creed, is very God of very God. And it is this one then who can actually partner with God to accomplish God's goal of salvation. This is what Jesus does for us. Jesus is the partner who God needs. And Jesus has been fully joined to humanity by God. And as Jesus himself says, what God has joined together, let no one separate. And Jesus does not separate from this human flesh. Even death does not create the separation, but we see that it is the same body that is resurrected. It is the same body, we are led to believe through the ascension, that is still seated at the right hand of the Father in majesty, and that this union of God and humanity is still fully present in Jesus. And we hear then about this dominion that Jesus has. And that might make us think of our author from Hebrews talking about this dominion that humans have that is incomplete. And we aren't over all things, and thank goodness that is the case. And I'm guessing we are to realize that we can see Jesus means that we must look to Jesus's power, authority, and dominion if we are to understand how to exercise our own. We must follow in Jesus's own steps, to think as Jesus would think, to act as Jesus would act in the world, if we're ever to have the sort of dominion that God would ask us to have. And of course, this is a difficult thing. The type of way that Jesus lives does not come easily or naturally to us. We will need the Holy Spirit's work in our lives to change our hearts, our minds, our very beings, so that we can think and act and speak in the ways that Jesus would in this world. So that we don't listen to the rational things that would have us put others aside and focus on a certain task or objective, and instead actually realize that it's the people themselves, it is caring and building up one another that God would actually ask of us, that God would seek true partnership and would want us to seek the same as well. To focus first and foremost on right relationship with God, with each other, and yes, even with this created world. This was the partnership Adam was in. As he named these animals, as he drew near to each one, we see this caring for them. And we realize that this is what the dominion of God looks like, to provide care and support, to serve those whom we are over. How do we know this? Because this is what Jesus does for us. The serving that Jesus does even leads to suffering and death. And we know that this may very well be the path we are called to tread ourselves as we seek to serve those around us in this partnership with God. Indeed, we are reminded in this meal that we have before us today of the suffering and death of Jesus that was the path for this perfection, as we hear in Hebrews. That it's in the very night in which he was betrayed, and a betrayal that led to suffering and death, that we have the gift of this feast. That Jesus offers his very self for these disciples to show them, yes, I am still joined to you, just as Christ is joined with us today. And just as Christ is joined with this bread and wine and this body and blood. And this continues. This is still offered for us to experience. And as we draw near to Christ, we recognize this relationship, this right relationship that Christ has won for us. That says, yes, you are my beloved children. Draw near to me this day. Here in this meal, we know that Christ gathers us up in these arms and blesses us. And we are then strengthened and nourished to be sent out to the world to continue this process. That we too may celebrate and share this love we have received, that we may go to these other children of God and tell them the good news. That Jesus wants to see them too. That Jesus longs to gather them in his arms and to bless them. That they are welcome here at this table. This is amazing news. See the ways in which God would seek to partner with us, in spite of our hard-heartedness and in spite of our shortcomings. And for this most wonderful news that shares with us God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, all we can say in response is thanks be to God. Amen.